Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you with me as we finish out our week together discussing a beautiful, amazing, powerful chunk of Philippians chapter 3. I mean, Paul is really bringing the word. And, you know, the other day we were doing a little middle school Bible study, and we were doing like an icebreaker question, and everyone was going around saying their favorite Bible character, and Jesus didn't count. And everyone was saying Mary and Elizabeth, you know, great characters. And I was like, let's go. Like, Paul is like fire. And then we read some of Philippians, and they were like, I love Paul, you know. And Paul, he's always bringing it. I love how radical Paul is living. And we're seeing in Philippians chapter 3, I mean, at the beginning of the week, friends, we started off going how Paul's saying nothing matters except for Christ. Really, that's what he's saying. He's saying nothing matters. And this doesn't mean he's like, oh, I don't love people or I don't take other things seriously. But he's saying everything matters because of Christ. And the only thing really that matters is to be found in him. And I just want to repeat that this morning, friends, as you're listening to this, wherever you are, maybe you're frustrated by a situation, maybe you're stressed at work, and I'm not trying to say to you, that doesn't matter, but sometimes we need clarity. We need the clarity of eternity to say heaven is close, eternity is close, and what matters is to be found in Christ and in his righteousness, to be satisfied by him because he is the only thing worthy. And so today, I want to challenge you practically, before we even get into the scriptures, I want to challenge you practically saying, is there anything keeping me from being found in Christ today? How can I reorder my heart and my mind? How can I reattach? How can I be satisfied in Christ alone? What is keeping me from being found only in Christ? And just pray, say, Jesus, I want to be found only in you. I want to be found in you. I want to die in you. I want to live in you. And he will answer that prayer. Amen? Amen. Such a good prayer to pray. So let's begin. I don't normally do this, but I'm skipping Psalm 74 because it's very long and it's a good psalm to read. So definitely read it. But I want to read a little bit of Psalm 75. And then I want to take up actually for our last day today, I want to get into a large chunk at the end of the passage that we're reading because I think it's really important to just kind of give a 1,000-foot overview of this last little chunk of the passage that we're going through. So I really want to get to that today. And I want to encourage you, as always, listen to the full week of the show, guys. Listen, go back from the beginning, see where we start with Paul, and listen and see how this passage is building. Because we start with Jesus is the great reward. He's the one who satisfies. And if he's the one who satisfies, then we can be found in him and we can be made righteous in him. And if we're really made righteous in him, and if he's the only thing that matters, then we actually can share in his suffering. We actually can share in his suffering, and we actually ultimately can share in his death. And that's where God wants to take us as we mature as disciples. So let's read a little bit of Psalm 75, open in prayer, and then we're going to wrap up with Philippians chapter 3. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We praise you, God. We praise you. For your name is near. People tell of your wonderful deeds. You say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge with equity. When the earth and all its peoples quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm. To the arrogant, I say, boast no more. And to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. Do not lift up your horns against heaven. Do not speak so defiantly. No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings down. He exalts another. In the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs. As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob, who says, I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. Lord, we thank you that you are a righteous judge. It's so safe and secure. It brings us such a secure foundation that you are the one who comes to judge the living and the dead. And we pray, Lord, that you would prepare us, that when you come to judge us with righteousness and truth, that we would be found in you. And we ask all this in your holy name. Amen. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to just say a couple things about this, because it connects to being found in Christ, right? Because Jesus is the righteous judge. And I love in Revelation, it has this passage about the ones who have been washed, the saints whose robes have been washed. When Jesus comes and is seated on the throne, how we will honor and worship and praise him. And the first thing that we will praise him for is saying, Lord, you are worthy because your judgments are just and true. And there's something in the human heart that we come towards God and we want to worship him and we long for his role as judge. We long for his role as bridegroom, king, and judge, that we long for his just judgment to be meted out upon the earth. And there's this image of in the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine and mixed spices, and he will pour it out on the earth. And the wicked who in the last psalm we said yesterday were successful on the earth, where it looks like everything is going well for them. This is a very important truth, that when God comes to judge, something could look totally right for someone on the earth, but when God comes to judge, he pours out the cup of judgment. And those who are not found in Christ will drink the dregs of the cup of judgment, the wine of judgment. But if we're found in Christ, we will be saved and we will be brought home to God forever. It's amazing. It's really amazing. We could do a whole week of episodes on that, but I want to read the next portion of Philippians 3. So what we finished last time is Paul saying, he's saying, this is what I want. I want to know Christ. I want to live in the power of his resurrection. I want to share in his sufferings. I want to become like him in his death so I can rise from the dead. That is the thesis statement of discipleship. What Paul desires. Now there's this next section that quickly he goes into, and it says pressing toward the goal. Paul says, I'm going to one place. It's the only thing that matters. This is where I'm going. And in other places he's saying, I'm running there fast. Who is coming with me? So I want to read a little chunk. Verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be thus minded. And if anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So why do I need to touch on this? Why is this important? So Paul, he's saying, this is my thesis statement. I want to know Christ. I want to live in the power of his resurrection. I want to share in his suffering. I want to follow him and become like him in his death. And I want to attain the resurrection from the dead. And he's saying, I haven't already obtained this. I'm still working on it. I'm not perfect, but I'm pressing in. I'm pressing forward to make it my own. And I just love this. It's so sweet. Why? Because Christ has made me his own. He has purchased me with his blood. Yesterday, I was praying out on my patio and I was thinking about this reality. And friends, I just began to weep. I just began to cry, thinking about, I belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. He has made me his own. I am his. It's beautiful. He considers on, brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Again, I'm still working on it. But one thing I do know, I'm forgetting what lies behind. The past is not weighing me down. Everything that's holding me back from the past, I'm forgetting it. It's in my rearview mirror. And guess what? I'm not even looking back at it. I'm forgetting what lies behind. And only what matters is what lies before me. And what is that? The goal of heaven. straining forward to what lies ahead. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing towards the goal for the prize of the upward call. Again, he's saying, what is the prize? I am going somewhere. I'm rising with Christ. I am on my way to be with him forever. So I'm putting my eyes up. I'm keeping my eyes up to the one that I love, to the one that I trust. There's a prize coming for me, and it's my crown in heaven. And I'm keeping my eyes on the prize. I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, this is where I'm going. I want to be purified because I want to share in the sufferings of Christ. I'm suffering with him. And my goal is to fully belong to him. And I'm trying to make this my own. Paul's saying, I'm struggling. I'm trying to make this my own. I'm trying to make this my only aim. But I'm going to keep going. Day after day, step after step, minute after minute, I'm going to keep moving. Why? Because there is no other option. Paul was marked by his desire for heaven. God came to him and Paul was marked and he tasted the glory of the Lord. He says, no. There's nothing else. Everything else that I tasted, it's not as good. Everything else that I wanted, it's not as good. I am pressing on for this one thing. I am going to win the prize. It's like when people want to go to win a gold medal in the Olympics, what do? They focus only on that thing. Their whole life is training. One of my cousins was just telling me about a girl that she knew that went to row to do crew at Stanford. And literally, the girl didn't go to a prom. She never went to a prom. She went to bed early. She did everything. She gave up everything because she wanted to be this champion rower, this champion on the crew team. And so we apply that to spiritual things. We're saying we do so many things for earthly goals. And he's saying there's one goal. There's one prize. Put all of your energy towards this one thing. Go towards it. Run towards it. And then I love what he says here. Let those of us who are mature be thus minded. Let those of you who are mature, he's saying, this is what it means to be spiritually mature. It's not imbalanced. It's not out of whack. It's not valuing like God too much over other things. This is what it means to be mature, spiritually mature. This is what it means. This is what it looks like. What is it? To know Christ. To live in the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings, to become like him in his death, to obtain resurrection from the dead, to keep your focus on one thing, to gain Christ, to lose everything. This is not outlandish, Paul is saying. This is spiritual maturity. This is spiritual maturity. And he's saying, let those of us who are mature have this mind. And he says it before. He says, have this mind of you among you that was in Christ Jesus. In Philippians 2, he says that although he was God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. He's saying, be like Jesus. What mind should you have? Follow him to his death. Follow him to his death. And he's saying, if anything you are otherwise minded, God would reveal this to you. So Lord, we pray. As we end this week, we pray, send your Holy Spirit upon us. We're desperate. We're desperate to make it to heaven. We're desperate to receive the prize. We've been touched. We don't want anything else. We don't want anything else. Give us this mind. And if there is anything else that is making us double-minded, reveal it to us right now and give us the grace to give it up. We ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll see you again next week. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.